in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he has appeared to Simon Peter. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm reading from John 20, and it's the 30th verse. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this faith in his name, you may have eternal life. Jesus did many other signs. I tell you, he's continuing to do signs. We're just too blind to see them. God knows how to do signs and wonders because of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was just talking to Eleanor just yesterday, and she told me that she was going to buy a chicken at the Boston Chicken House, whatever it's called. And she told me that there was a man who came into the store and said, there's someone with a big cross in the front of the window. And she said to the guy, it's me. He said, would you be able to pray with me today? I'm having an awful day. And so she prayed with him and witnessed to him. And this is how God works. The many signs and wonders that Jesus did, where it all accounted, all the libraries would not be able to hold the books of what Jesus did. Do you know that? That Jesus does many other signs in the presence of us. Do you know that? Do you know that? Are you knowing that God knows how to supply your needs, that God knows how to supply your daily bread, that God knows how to supply the paying of your bills? Yes, do you know that today? I'm reading from the 21st chapter of St. John. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or let's say the Sea of Galilee, it's the same. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to all of them, I am going fishing. I'm going fishing. That should really disturb you, because Mark 1 verse 16 says, as he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they left their nets and followed Jesus. He walked a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them, so they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed Jesus. You see, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. But he's been called from the boat. He was called to be fishers of men. But I'm telling you, he's not very comfortable with the resurrection, because Jesus shows up when he wants to. Simon Peter said, I am going fishing. You know, he knew what it was to fish, but waiting for the risen Savior to show himself, he was impatient. He knew what it was to fish, so he went back to the fish and went back to the boat and went back to the nets, which he had been called away from. And it says, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we also will come with you. So they went out and caught nothing, as usual. Why? Because Jesus Christ never called them to be fishermen anymore. They caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, Have you caught anything to eat? This is tongue-in-cheek, because he knows. They answered him, no. So he said to them, cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something. So they cast it and were able to pull it in. We're not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, and they were not far from the shore, only 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. Then they climbed out of the shore, and they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 fish, large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. And none of his disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and looked and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time in John that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. I tell you, these disciples have hard heads, but I cannot blame them, because they were waiting for Jesus, and Jesus didn't show up. But then he shows up on the shore. Jesus is always on the shore of your life. He's always there. He never leaves. He promised us, I will be with you always, even unto the end of time. Jesus is always on the shore of our lives. We need to implement our faith and believe that he is there, in me, with me, through me, that he is there. If I am a Christian, he is there. He is not far. And you know, the disciples couldn't do anything on their own. They couldn't even fish on their own. They needed Jesus to show them what to do. And it's like that with us. We want the church to be renewed. That's what everyone wants. But how many wait for Jesus to show us how to renew the church? I tell you how to renew the church. And it's the scriptural answer. Fill people with the Holy Spirit and power. The church will be renewed. Fill people with the Holy Spirit and power, and the church will be renewed. Doing the same things over and over again, you will not renew the church. We need the power of Pentecost. The disciples were unable to do anything until the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled with the glory of God. They preached that day, Peter, 3,000 men were saved. I'm telling you, what the church needs now is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit at baptism and confirmation, but he's stuck. We need that Spirit that is in us through the sacraments would become a life-giving well, so that people would see and hear that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How we need the gift of the Holy Spirit. I call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is something that we have not come to yet. I told you about Donna, 90 years old, and she's not Catholic, and she says, what this church needs is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They all love God, but what they need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I agreed with her. I agreed with her. That baptism of the Holy Spirit causes us to be empowered, gives us a word that I spoke about on WEZE, gives us authority. The authority of the kingdom of God. the authority of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I'm not Spirit-centered. The Spirit always leads to Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. He makes Jesus our contemporary. Yes, Jesus is with us. Jesus is for us. Jesus is in us. I tell you, these disciples had left their nets to follow Jesus, but now they wanted to do something that they were acquainted with. They wanted to catch fish, and they caught nothing until Jesus told them what to do. And it's like that with us. We catch nothing until we tell Jesus, until Jesus tells us what to do. And it's very difficult sometimes because we have ideas. Our ideas are good, but they're not good enough. Peter's idea was going fishing, and he caught nothing. The idea was to look at the man on the shore and listen to him. It was Jesus. He cast his net over, and they caught more big fish than they could hold, and the nets were not broken. How we need to catch people in the net of Jesus Christ. How we need to catch people in the net of Jesus Christ, that they would become born again. And I'm telling you, Catholics call it second conversion. We need it. We need second conversion. And after that, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church needs, if you ask me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit being caught, the fire of God being caught on people because they preach what the Holy Spirit tells them to preach. That man in the chicken shop found out that there was someone in the chicken shop who would pray with him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We need to learn how to pray with people. We need to learn to pray with people. We need to lay on hands in the name of Jesus. We need to do that. But you know what? Even now, so many people that have been Christians for 100 years have never laid their hands on people. They say, that's Father Tom's job. No, that's Father Tom's job, but that's your job too, to lay hands on the people and that they would be healed from sickness. Pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of his blood, that they would be healed completely because we lay hands upon the sick. How we need to lay hands upon the sick. I'm reading John 21, verse 15. When they had all finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, let me read it again. Come have breakfast. And none of his disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them. In like manner the fish. This was the third time Jesus revealed to the disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Like, do you love me that you'd give your life to me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you as a friend. He said to him, feed my lambs. What do we feed the lambs with? The Word of God, the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, yes, we feed the lambs with the Word of God, the Blessed Sacrament, and the Blessed Sacrament. And then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Like, would you give your life for me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you as a friend. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me as a friend? Jesus meets Peter where he's at. And Peter was distressed that he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What do you think I'm doing now? Feeding the sheep, calling them to turn to Jesus. What do you think I'm doing now? Speaking the word of God, breaking open the word in the power of the Spirit, so that people who hear me would be fed that Jesus is with them, Jesus is for them, Jesus is in them, and Jesus wants to do wonderful things because he's given us authority. If we do not use the authority, we lose the authority. We have authority that Jesus gave us, not to use it for ourselves only, but to use it for people, to use it for people, the young. Oh, the young, how my heart aches for the young. They come and they learn who Jesus is. They give their life to Jesus. And what happens? They go to college and lose their faith, many of them. How sad. How sad. But they never can question the fact that they once had an experience of Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. Oh yes, I'm talking about the young that have been evangelized. Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you. When you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this to signify what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. In other words, you're going to love me that you give your life for me. And we know when Peter was in Rome, we know that he was crucified, and he was crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. Put me upside down. I tell you, Peter started off a little lukewarm, but he ended up on fire, preaching the word of God in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. How wonderful we see Peter going to the house of Cornelius the Gentile. He was of the Italian cohort. And I tell you, Peter went, and because the Spirit bade him to go. And when he went there, he preached Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the coming of the Spirit. And as he preached, the people in the house began to speak in tongues and prophesy. They were changed by the power of the Spirit. They were changed by the power of the Spirit due to the proclamation of Peter. How we need to have the Word of God proclaimed to us in such a way that we get changed in the name of Jesus by the power of God. We need to be changed. We need an encounter with the risen Lord. That's what we need. And we need many encounters with the risen Lord. Oh, Jesus did many more things. Were they all recorded, all the books in the libraries would not be able to contain them. When we had a Bible study in Quincy, we would always start with this scripture. And with this scripture, the kids would share what Jesus had done in their lives that week. I tell you, we need to share what Jesus is doing in our lives. We need to share it with people. We need to share it with the young. We need to share it with the old. We need to share it with the medium people. We need to share the good news of Jesus. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Peter turned and saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved, the one who had reclined upon his chest during the supper and had said, Master, what is the one who will betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus said to Peter, what if I want him to remain until I come? Your concern, what concern is that of yours? Follow me. In other words, mind your own business. mind your own business. Stop thinking about, will he be around when Jesus comes back in glory? Mind your own business. So the word spread among the brothers that the disciples would not die, that John would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he would not die. Just what if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is that of yours? You know, we need to ask the right questions. We need to ask the right questions. It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did. But if these were all recorded and described individually, I do not think that the whole world would be able to contain the books that would be written. Is Jesus doing something in your life today? Do you have his peace? Do you know his love? Have you had an encounter with the risen Lord? Oh yes, this is the time when Jesus wants you to encounter him, to encounter the risen Lord. We cannot do very much unless we encounter Jesus, unless we encounter the risen Lord, unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot do very much unless God do something in us. Oh yes, God do something in us. We do not want to be like Peter and say, I'm going fishing. No, we don't want to go back to the past. We need to look to Jesus in the present. And we need to look to Jesus in the future. We need to look to Jesus that he would give us everything that we need. Everything that we need. We need to look to Jesus Christ, who is Lord of heaven and earth, who has been raised from the dead, who is the Father's only begotten Son. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli, laetare, laetare, alle. Hallelujah, Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli, laetare, laetare, hallelujah. Quiaquem meruisti, meruisti portare. Alleluia, alleluia. Resurrexit, sit cum dixit. Resurrexit, sit cum dixit. Alleluia, alleluia. Ora, ora, pro nobis pacem. Ora, ora, pro nobis pacem. Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli. Laetare, laetare, alleluia. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, for the one who is your son has been raised from the dead. O Mary, pray for us who are in need of your prayers. May the Lord bless you today, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.